got a few missing. I think they're preparing for the storm. But y'all remember all the ones in the paths of the storm. I know if you've been watching any TV, you see that we're supposed to get some of it. And I'll announce it again further in service, but we have canceled our revival that was supposed to officially start tomorrow night. We've moved it to next week, which will be the 18th. I've got in touch with Randy. He is fine with that. He's still ready to go, and we got to call some singers and get them canceled, but everything else is a go. And tonight we will meet. We've got I kind of had it planned up for a little bit of a surprise revival kickoff. We've got Brother Darrell Robinson going to be here tonight, so we're going to keep that going. We're going to keep him coming tonight, and I'm excited about tonight, excited about the next week. I was so ready for revival, but the Lord's timing is perfect. I'm glad mine. He don't go on my time because we'd mess things up, but his way is always perfect. So he had a reason for this coming. I don't understand everything, but we'll praise him in the storm. There's a song that tells us to do that, and scriptures tells us praise him good time and bad. But I do ask you to be much in prayer for those that's in the direct path of the storm where it's going to be so bad down in Florida. They're talking about it coming around. Last I saw was blow Tampa a little bit. So be much in prayer for those, and those that'll be out rescuing people from it. They'll be out medical people be in it. Power line people will be working day and night for, they said on news this morning, could be weeks, could be months, replacing power throughout all of Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. So we've got a lot to pray for. Do we have any more prayer requests here this morning? Yes, remember Dallas's family. Also, the Camp family, remember them, as they had a loss. Do you have any others? I know there's some that we mentioned in Sunday school that I'm forgetting, but God knows everyone. Do we have any unspoken? Have any unspoken prayer requests this morning?
Remember Hannah tomorrow, too, because she's going for some tests. We need some results from the tests.
Remember that. Anyone else? Not. Let's pray. Let's take this week. I began thinking this morning. I was let down because I was going to have to cancel revival, and I've been looking so forward to it. But I got thinking that it's a gift. God give us a week, another week to get ready, another week to get excited, another week to prepare. As we preached last Sunday about preparing our hearts for revival, and we'll preach a little bit more about that this morning. But let's use this week not to. I don't know what the week's going to hold. Storm may not even come. If it does come and blows everything down we got, we still got a mighty God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today thanking you for your blessings. Lord, I ask a special prayer request for those that's in the path of the storm. Father, we know that you control it. You control the sea. You control the wind. Everything about it's under your control. And I know you have a reason for it. Father, we may not understand it, but the Bible teaches us that good comes to those that love you. And I believe we love you, Lord, and I ask you to deepen our love for you. And Father, as we prepare for this revival that we had to postpone, but we're going to have it next week. I pray that you strengthen our hearts, and Father, that you just let us use this week to get better prepared, to get better in a better place to receive the revival that you're going to send. Father, I pray for the evangelist. I know he was ready to come and excited. I pray that you just keep him up all week, and Lord, just let him be ready when the time comes. And God, I pray for these families, this lost loved ones here this morning. Lord, there's no words we can say to comfort them. The only comfort they have lies in you. Lord, of knowing that even though that loved one's gone, that one day there'll be a reunion. There'll be a seeing again. There won't be us. Not an eternal separation. God, we thank you for that. That if we know you and we've been saved by your precious blood, that one day we'll be reunited with those who we love so much. And Lord, I ask you to be with those that are traveling this weekend. We've got some on the roads in different places. I ask you to bless them. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and join us in our call to worship.
Come when you want. but he'll be there right on time. He's a long time God. Yes, he is.
You can ask the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea, by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them, and Pharaoh at their back. I don't know where God stepped in, built the highway just like that. Job said,
"You may not come when you want it,
but he'll
be there right on time.
He's an
on time God. Yes, he is.
He's on time.
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 He's on time. Yes, he's on time.
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 He's on time. Oh yes, he's on time.
He's an on time God. Yes, he is. Oh, oh, oh.
On time God. Yes, he is.
Job said
he may not come when you want it,
but he'll
be there right on time.
He's an
on time God.
He's an
on time.
Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. Will never say I'll never be.
Our singers are ready for revival. They're ready to go. Done got Rudy saying amen over here. We ready to go. They're excited about this morning, excited about the weeks to come. And, you know, revival, I said last week, is a set aside meetings we've set aside for revival. But revival comes from the heart. It's all about the heart. And that's what we're going to preach about today. And if I had a title for this message, it would be Revival Begins with a Heart. We see, again, we've set aside a set time of meetings. And by the way, it is biblical. I saw that someone had posted about a revival, and somebody else posted where in the scripture is revival is biblical. It's biblical. I'm fixing to show you where it's biblical. It was done in Hezekiah's day, and it's done in our day. It is biblical to have a set aside meetings to try to get our nation, our people, our church closer to the Lord. It's completely scriptural. So we'll be preaching about Hezekiah, and I'll tell you to turn to 2 Chronicles 29:10. I was going to say Hezekiah, but I didn't want to watch all y'all hunt it because I have said that before. My own mistake. But 2 Chronicles 29:10, this is a very familiar, I may have put the wrong day on scripture on there back there. I'm not certain. But anyway, we'll be out of 2 Chronicles 29:10. Give you a little background about Hezekiah. He was called to be king when he was 25 years old. And I've said it a lot lately. We're older people, as I guess I'm falling into that now. I've got to the point when someone begins talking about Ramburn School, I say, I don't know them. Who's their daddy? And I have said, who's their granddaddy? So I don't feel like I'm to that point yet, but I'm getting there. And people my age have been so guilty of putting things off to the younger generation. Well, we say all the problems in our lands because of the younger generation and because of this and that. Now listen, the younger generation is where revival started in this day. Hezekiah was 25 years old. And if you go to the first verses there in 2 Chronicles 29, in verses 1 through 9, it begins telling a little bit about Hezekiah. It tells you who his mother was, and it even tells you who his grandfather's was, but it never mentions his father. His father Ahaz was the wickedest king that Israel had ever had. He completely turned the nation of Israel against God, turned Judah against God. He turned the whole being over there, the whole godly land, against him. He even went so far as he nailed the doors of the temple shut. He shut the doors of the church. He put out the lamps that the church was to be a light on the hill. He put the lamps out and he stopped burning the incense. That's a sign of prayers. He shut everything the temple had to do down. He wanted nothing to do with God. And because of that, the nation was in a bad place. And I don't have to tell you today that we're living in times that many of us have never thought we would get to the point. We thought we'd never be to the place where some things are happening in our land that's happening, and that's a whole other message. We want to preach about revival today. We want to preach about how to make this thing better. I heard somebody say one time, we preach about all that's wrong, and we don't preach enough about what's right, about how to make it right. We know what's wrong this morning. I said in Sunday school, you don't have to tell a sinner he's wrong. He already knows it. I don't have to stand here this morning and tell y'all everything that's wrong in our nation. You see what's wrong, but today I hope we can figure out how to get the thing right. How to get it right. Here in 2 Chronicles 29:10, I want you to see something. Let me read it. It says, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Father, we thank you today for this word you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the people that's came this morning. Lord, I know that there's stuff on our hearts this morning. We're anxious about the storms. We're anxious about all the things of life. And God, we're some of us upset that a revival can't start the time that we had it planned, but God, your plan's perfect. We sang a song, said you're on time, God, so you know what's perfect for us. But Lord, I pray today that you use this message to ignite our hearts, so that we prepare this whole week you've given us, so we'll be ready for next week for when the revival does start, that we'll be on fire for you. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So Hezekiah began this off with saying he had a heart, that God had put it in his heart to bring revival about to his land. He saw where his fathers had fallen by the sword, it says in verse 9, and our sons and our daughters and wives are in captivity for this. Listen, you've heard me preach a lot of times that, again, if I won't say it again, we blame our young people. We blame my generation, which I graduated high school in the 90s, and people blame my generation for being the ones that took our nation away from God and from being the ones that don't worship like we should. And my generation's one that brought about some new musics in church and these different things, and people begin thinking bad about us. But may I tell you something, that the same place that Hezekiah was is the same place we are this morning. It's our fathers and our fathers before them and our fathers before them that let us down. Now, I'm not on them this morning. I'm just telling you the truth. And if I had been one of them fathers, I would have been the one that's let us down. But Hezekiah realized that his fathers and his grandfathers had failed the nation of Israel. May I tell you that the problem why the church is in the issue it's in today, why the nation of United States of America is in the issue it is, because somewhere down the line, godly men and women let down their guard. They begin accepting anything that they would, so people may come into churches, so nobody would feel like they was talked about or put down, and they cared less about what God thought about the situation. Amen. That's how we got to where we are today. The same way Hezekiah looked. He looked around, he saw something. He said, we got all these problems, but guess what? I think I can be a solution. God put it in his heart to make a solution to this problem. And I pray this week that God puts into your heart to be the solution to our problem today. We stand in a great need of a revival, not just our church, but all the churches around stand in need of a revival. Listen, Hezekiah looked and he had heard stories probably about the temple. And he began thinking, well, how was the temple so great? All I've ever seen in my day was the doors are shut up. My daddy closed the doors. He shut the singing down. He done everything into the temple. And immediately Hezekiah began, and he realized something, that if his nation was to get better, he had to open up the house of God again. He had to get the house of God open. Brother Terry teaches us on Wednesdays, he tells us that all these people that make all these statistics has now said that regular church attendance is once every 6 weeks. Once every 6 weeks, if you attend church, once every 6 weeks, you fall into a regular church attendee. I want to tell you this. Well, God bless our hearts. We're in a terrible shape today, church. We're in a terrible place in our nation. If we got so lazy that we can only attend one time in 6 weeks, something is wrong. And we see what's something wrong, and it's time for revival. And you say, but we're in this little town of Heflin. We're in Cleburne County with a little old church with not many people, with a good-looking little short preacher. How in the world are we going to make any difference? The same way Hezekiah did. If you look what he began doing, he immediately had the temple cleansed. He had the temple cleansed. It said he called the men, the Levites, and all of them whose job it was to be carrying the temple on. And he said, what's wrong with you? Why have you not been there? Listen, church leaders today, it's time that we clean the temple up. And the temple is us today. The Bible tells in Corinthians that we are now the temple. In the New Testament, this body has become the temple. This thing should stay clean. It should stay right before God. And it says that the temple had gotten so dirty that he sent all these Levites and all these priests out to clean it up. And it took them 8 days to clean the temple. At the end of 8 days, they come out and they said, we've got the temple clean. Then he tells them, he says, sanctify yourselves. Clean yourselves up. It's time for you to get clean. So they begin doing it. And listen, and things begin happening, but God had put it in his heart. And that's what it's going to take today for revival to start in a nation that has gotten so far away from God, is for some one man to have a heart. One man to have it put in his heart that he's going to revive. He's going to be revived. He don't care what the world says about him. He don't care what his father did. He don't care what anybody around him is doing. Bless God, he's going to be revived. And when one of us in this building today gets to that point, then revival would come to New Harmony Baptist Church. And if it comes to New Harmony Baptist Church, I'm going to show you in a minute, it'll come to Heflin, Alabama. And if it comes to Heflin, Alabama, it'll go to all over Alabama, and it'll go to Georgia, and before long, we'll have a whole nation that's in revival. It happened with one man, Hezekiah. He had a heart. He knew the solution. He had heard about it. How many of us has heard stories? I know when I was at Rock Springs and other churches, I've not heard of as much here because we hadn't got near the old people that we had at them other places. They began telling about it at Rock Springs, how they would remember that in the old days that people would be sitting in the windows. They'd come and the church house would be full. So they'd sit in the windows, or they'd poke their head through, or they'd open the door and they'd sit on the porch. And some of y'all remember those days that the house of God was so full. We began hearing about all those good things. And we say, what in the world has changed? What has changed? Has God changed? No, the scripture tells us he don't change. What has changed is our desire for God. That's what has changed today. Hezekiah was tired of hearing about the old days. He was ready to see what could happen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verse 12. Listen what happens. God gave the people one heart. He gave them one heart. Now listen, Hezekiah had sent out letters all over Judah, all over Israel for the men and everybody to come that they may have the Passover meal in the second month as it was supposed to be carried. He put it all out there and said, hey, I want everybody to come. And exactly what happened is what happens today. The minute we put a revival out on Facebook, or we put a revival out on things, scoffers start hitting the stuff. They say there's no use in going down there and wasting your time. It's not even biblical. There's no use in you coming down there. And people begin talking about it and say, I ain't coming. But bless God, in this day, there was a few that saw a need to come. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12, it said that God give them one heart. Listen to this. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandments of the king and of the princes. Was it because of the king's words? Or because no, listen to what it says. By the word of the Lord. It was because God had said, come down here and get yourselves clean and get back to being the nation I've called you to do, or I'm going to bring my wrath upon you. I'm going to bring it upon you. Listen, I'm not saying today that God's wrath is the reason these storms are coming. It's his perfect plan. He knew it before time began that this storm was going to come. He knew Irma was going to happen. This thing ain't got him scratching his head thinking, well, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do about Florida? They're about to be torn to pieces. He's not excited about this. He's not taking any nerve pills. He knew it from the beginning. He knows what the outcome will be. He knows what the good will be from it. And listen, he's able to take care of what's in between. He's that good. But he gave them one heart. One heart. Church, that's what we must have. It'll start in one man's heart to have revival. And then, bless God, if one man has a heart, according to what God did here, and God does not change, he'll still do it. He'll give us all the same heart. He'll give us the same heart for revival. So the people had one heart, and they'd done something that's amazing, even after all the talking about it, and say, yo, you mean to tell me you're going down there? You're going to revival this week? Oh, man, we got all this stuff going on. And why in the world would you want to go to revival? They came anyway. They came anyway. Listen to what happened. It said they're assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of the unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars in Jerusalem and all the altars for incense they took away and cast them into the brook. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after the manner according to the law of Moses. The man of God, the priest, sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation. Listen to this. They were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves yet, did they eat the Passover. Otherwise, than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, praying the Lord God pardon everyone. They weren't supposed to be eating this thing in the condition they was in. They were ceremonially unclean. They had been for miles around traveling. They hadn't taken a bath. They hadn't washed their hands. They hadn't done the things that the law said they must be done. So surely they can't come to revival if they're not spiritually or spiritually unclean or ceremonially unclean. They can't come to revival. They can't come to the reading of the Word of God. They can't come and partake of the Passover meal. So how in the world is revival going to take place? And God shows us something that we must remember. I guarantee today, if you go out and you say, well, you come to our church revival, the first thing people will tell you, number one, is I don't have time. And you got to get over that one because we have time for what we want to have time for. And the next thing they're going to tell you, well, I would, preacher, but I don't have nothing to wear. You don't have nothing to wear. Listen, these people came that was under the law. They came into the house of God with dirty clothes on, haven't taken a bath, which was completely against the law. But bless God, all of a sudden, God pardoned them. You don't know what it was today. It was grace. It was grace. God pardoned them. Listen, God was not considered about the situation that their clothes was in. He wasn't considered about the situation, how they smelled or what they looked like or their hair wasn't fixed. He was concerned about the situation of their heart. How was their heart? It said he had given them one heart. So their heart was perfect. And listen, the leader, the man Hezekiah, he saw something and he realized something. At that moment, I believe he found the grace of God. Because it says that he prayed for them and said, God, would you pardon them? Lord, they didn't have time to be clean as the ceremony says we must be. God, they didn't have time to do all this. They didn't have the money to buy new clothes. God, they didn't have money to do everything like the law said we have to do it. God, will you please pardon them? And guess what? Bless God, he did. He pardoned them. He made them clean there. They sat in there and eat that Passover as if they were the cleanest people had ever been because of grace. Listen this morning. You may not have clothes to come to revival. Bless God, if you got clothes to wear to work, wear them to revival. It's fine with me. You got clothes wearing the ball field, wearing the church, it's fine with me. I'm not considered about the situation, what your clothes look like. I'm worried about your heart this morning. You come with a heart to prepare for revival, and I promise you, we won't notice what you got on. I live with four women. We get up every Sunday morning, they begin to fight about what to wear. Well, did I wear this last Sunday? I said, was it remember? Was it matter? Like if I forget. I don't remember what you wore last Sunday. I don't even remember what I wore last Sunday. I'd probably wear the same thing over and over. And the bad thing is I don't even care. I don't even care what I wear. As long as I got clothes on and respectful before God, that's what matters. He gives us enough common sense to come to his house respectable. He gives us enough sense to come and realize that our clothes is not the factor. Our hands being clean is not the factor. It's about a clean heart. And a heart is not this thing in here that pumps blood. It's not that. It's the very center of who you are. The very center of your being. Who are you? The best way to know who that is who are you when you're by yourself? Because we all do something. We all become hypocrites when people's around. I do it, you do it, just admit it, you become a hypocrite. What a hypocrite is, the meaning of it in the original Greek and Hebrew, was an actor. We all become actors. Some of us deserve an Oscar. We're so good at it. We become different people when it's time to come into the house of God. What he's saying today is, listen, all that don't matter. Have your hearts right. Be prepared for revival. And come on in. 2 Chronicles 16 through 20. Listen what they did. 16 through 20, and they stood in their place after the manner, according to the law. This means the Levites and all of them stood in the service where God had placed them in the house of God. To come in, I'm going to skip down to verse 19 because I've read the others. It says, the good Lord pardon everyone. And then it starts back at verse 19, that prepareth his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. What did he say again? Prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts. Listen, you see where this thing's going towards revival. Hezekiah had a heart for revival. Because of Hezekiah's heart, he sent out messages saying we're going to have revival, and the hand of God touched everyone and put one heart into each one of them to have revival. They put one heart into them, and they had the heartbeat for one thing. I was watching football this weekend, and old Ed Orgeron, I wish I could talk like him, the coach of LSU, that's his message every time, one heartbeat, one team. That's his thing. Listen, that should be us in revival. If we're going to have revival, we all must have a heart for it. We must prepare it. Listen, God sees the condition, just as I've said. He saw the condition of those hearts sitting out there when the Passover was to come. And he knew that they couldn't do any better. He knew they was doing the best they could, and their heart was in a perfect place. And according to the Scripture, he healed them. What did he heal them of? I believe he healed them of sicknesses. I believe he healed them, number one, of sin sickness. When they were sitting there, brother, they was as clean as they ever would be. He had cleaned them. He realized that they could not be made whole on their own. They should never have been allowed to eat that Passover meal. I want you to think of this. How many of us as churches are guilty of this stuff today? How many of you have ever went out visiting, and we all know the houses. I know in my community. You know them in your community. Oh, I'm not going to stop there. They don't smell like I do. I'm not going to stop there. They're not the same color I am. I'm not going to stop there. They don't preach like I do. I'm not stopping there. They don't do things like I do. I'm going to go on down a little bit. Listen, them people didn't deserve to be there. And you'll know the truth this morning. You don't deserve to be here. If you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell this morning. It's by the grace of God that they deserve what they had. If we come, I had put this week in my notes, but obviously now it's going to be next week. If we come and our heart's prepared, won't really matter what we got on, won't really matter what's happened in the week. God sees our hearts. He knows that we can't heal ourselves. We stand in need of a healer. And listen, he's willing to do that thing. He's willing to do that. So I preached about the hearts. Hezekiah had a heart. The people had one heart. The people prepared their hearts. They got ready for revival. How do you prepare your heart? You get honest before God. You say, God, show me if anything's in my heart that don't belong there. And God, cleanse me by your miracles, by your miraculous grace, God. Take all my sin away and make me clean before you that I'm ready for revival. And I promise you, if you'll do that, it'll happen. How do I know? Because these people did it, and it happened. How do we know it happened? I've said this a lot of times. We see Adults go through revival. The next week, they're fired up. They're ready to go. They have a good service of meetings, a good series of meetings. The preacher runs and stampers and hollers and screams and spits and does everything and walks on the pews. And bless God, we had a good week. And we're on fire. We come back next Sunday a little bit duller. We come back the next Sunday a little bit duller. And about 3 weeks out, you can never tell we even had a revival. But it wasn't this way when the heart was right. It will not be this way when the heart's right. Listen in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Some things begin happening when revival comes. Now, when all this was finished, and all that, I got to back up for just 1 minute. Let me tell you something I forgot. This is too good. These people were not Baptists. You want to know how I know? Or they could have been because they eat all week. But listen, after the revival was so good, they had that first series of meetings, and then guess what they decided? I don't want to go home. They had revival another 7 days. I've heard of this happening one time down in Randolph County. A church down there had split. They had had trouble and they decided to have a revival. The church almost split in half and they decided to have a tent revival. And the tent revival lasted for over a month, I think it was. Maybe been 2 months. Listen, when we get into the presence of God, we will not want to leave. We won't want to go home. Is it already Wednesday? Let's go to Friday. Is it already Friday? Let's go to next Friday. It don't matter what's on TV. I want to be in the house of God. Boy, would that not be a miracle in this day. But listen, further proofs that revival had taken place in chapter 31. Now, when all this was finished, all of Israel were present. They went out into the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars of all of Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and also Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possessions and to their own cities. What happened is they kept the revival 7 more days. They was excited. They was on fire for God. They went out. They understood if revival kept continuing, if revival was going to truly happen in the land, it wasn't going to happen in 14 days. It wasn't going to happen with those meetings set aside by Hezekiah. And with revival, had to go home with them, bless God. Is that not what we need today? We need to get so excited in the church house that the church goes home with us. That we go into our houses and we tear everything off the walls that's keeping us away from God. That we take everything out of our computers, everything out of our refrigerators, everything out of that's keeping us from God. And we throw this junk into the brook Kidron, which was meant to be destroyed, and done away with this stuff. And then truly will we see if revival has come. They went out into the cities and tore down all the groves that the old Ahaz had made. Tore them down. Listen, this didn't happen easy. There's probably some opposition, some people fighting against them. You decided you're going to clean your life up, you're going to clean your house up. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some opposition, but listen, until this happens, until revival leaves the walls of this church and goes into our homes and goes out into Heflin, then revival truly has not come. It's not come. So they went out and they tore down the strongholds, the stuff that held them, and we've all got them. I don't want to know yours because I ain't telling you mine, but we've all got something that's keeping us from being right where God wants us to be. How do I know? Because revival has not come to this land. So the only explanation it is God's wanting to send it, just me and you not prepared for it. The only explanation. They tore the strongholds down. Verse number 2, they got serious in their service to God. Listen, church leaders, listen, church members, you've got a service to God. Yes, you may not be the pastor, but you've got a service. Listen to this, and Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service. The priests and Levites for burnt offerings and the peace offerings to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feast, as is written in the law of the Lord. He told people, he said, get busy. You signed up to be a deacon. You signed up to be a Sunday school leader. You signed up to be the pastor. You signed up to do this. It's time to do your job. It's time to do it, and it's time to do it with all your heart. It's time to do it to the best of your ability. And your ability may not be as good as the fellows down the road, but bless God, I believe if you do it with all your heart and all your ability, I believe God will bless it. It's time to get busy. If revival comes, we'll have no problem of getting people busy. It just won't. Listen, what else? The leader led the way. Boys, it's fun to sit here and preach to y'all, but when it comes back this way, it ain't so fun. Hezekiah had to lead the way. It's up to us as church leaders to lead the way to revival. It begins with us. You realize Hezekiah was revived. God had given him a heart for revival. Even after he stayed those extra days, And boy, he wouldn't want it to end there. He put them to work in the house of God. Not only did he put them to work, he gave the sacrifices so they had no excuse. Hey, I'll give more than anybody. I want revival. Hezekiah led the way. Something miraculous began to happen. Even after all this wasn't enough. Once revival came, there was no begging for tithes. There was no begging for giving. There was no begging. Listen, once your heart is right with God and you're in a perfect place for revival, we won't have to ask you to tithe. Bless God, you'll be putting in here so much we'll have to build a new room. That's what they did. Before that, they didn't have the temple had been closed. But if they had been, the temple had been open, and listen, these priests and Levites, they was to live off the house of God. The people coming in giving tithes was how they was to eat, how they was to maintain. Their livelihood was by the people giving so they could minister unto them. Is how God set the thing up. It wasn't what I come up with. It's what God come up with. Let me read this to you. Once they got right, they began to give. I'm going to read this. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine and oil and honey, and all the increase of the field. And the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of all holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. It don't say they brought in a little bit. They brought it in by heaps. By heaps. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. Listen how much they had brought. Think about that. And listen, they didn't take the stuff and hoard it up in the church. They began just distributing it, making sure the people had. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and Levites concerning the heaps. Boy, have you ever heard a preacher have to do that today? We got to have a deacon's meeting. We had too many tithes. We got to have a deacon's meeting. People has give too much. Hey, guys, we got to figure out what to do with all this stuff that people has give to God. We got to figure out what to do. No, but you know what most deacons meeting are today? We got to figure out what we're going to do. We can't meet the budget. We can't do this and that. Listen, has God become broke? No, he hadn't. What has happened is people's in a backslidden condition. They have no care for the house of God. They have no care for God himself. And they whatever God's blessed them with that they work and earn, they feel like it's their own. They ain't going to give anything back. So churches struggle. That's not popular, but it's true. When a church gets revived, there'll be no shortage of money and of goods. No, it's not about money. No, it's not about that. But listen, the bottom line of this thing is, just in this day, if a church is going to survive, it's got to have funds. God uses people to provide those. These people were revived, and they had no excuse of giving. Hezekiah had to question, where are we going to put it? What are we going to do with it? Listen, I don't believe it was just the stuff. I believe Hezekiah had to question, where are we going to put all these people? The church is full. The temple's full. Every time we open the doors, this thing, and we can't hold anymore. What are we going to do with them? Oh, my goodness, we got a problem. We got to build a bigger building. We got to do something. We're so blessed. I promise you something, church. You want to think you can outgive God, I dare you to try. You try. You give him all of your talents, all your being, all your heart, all your soul, and you do what he's called you to do by the scripture. I'm not going to tell you what to give. You read the scripture and figure that out on your own, but I'm telling you, it's the duty of every single Christian, every church member, to tithe. It's biblical. It is. Hezekiah done that. So much come in. Didn't know what to do. Let me read to you verse 21 and I'll close. And we're early. It says, in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. Boy, it would be good if it ended right there. If that verse ended, that he did it with all of his heart, we could preach on it for a million years. Talk about we should do it with all of our heart. But boy, is it not nice that God put us one more word there. He prospered. He prospered. Why did he prosper? Because of his heart. Revival begins with our heart. Hezekiah had a heart for revival. It went out to the people. People prepared their heart. And bless God, they carried on the revival with all their heart, with everything they had, and it prospered. I promise you something, church. If we get our hearts right and we come before God truly wanting revival, then we won't be discouraged. He will provide. He'll put us in such a place that we wouldn't believe we could be. He'll set us on so fire that you wouldn't believe Miss Pat may get out the red book. I'm aggravating her, but listen. We'll be amazed what God will do through people. Ordinary people that will simply give their heart to Him. Say, here, God, here's my life. Do with it what you could. If you've ever read about any great evangelist that we've known in our world since the day of Christ, all they simply did was give their heart to God. Charles Spurgeon, simple man. He stood up and pretty much read the book, read the scriptures, is all he done. Church was full. Couldn't put any more in it every Sunday. One of the greatest preachers ever was, and basically what he done was read the scripture. Hey, I can't add nothing to it. It's the best thing ever been written. My little 2 cents I put in it, it better be sure it lines up with it because it's good for nothing else. Charles Stanley, very weak man, he thought. I've read him, read about him. Come from a home, didn't have a lot. But he gave God his heart, see what God done with it. We can go on and on. But what I want to tell you today, we set aside these days to come and worship. It can be a series of meetings, or it can be a revival. We're going to call it a revival. That's what's wrong today. We say, boy, our church had revival in August. We had revival in March, and all along we're lying like a bunch of dogs. We ain't had revival in years. We come every year since I've been pastor, and I set aside meetings. Every year is the same old thing. We're on fire for a week or two, back out. We need to start saying we're going to set a series of meetings and pray that revival comes. That's what I want this week, or this coming week. We've got a week to prepare. God's give us a bonus. We've got a week to get ready. It can be just series meetings, or it can be a difference maker. It's all about the heart. All about the heart. I pray that it's in God's hands to send us all the same heart. That's what it said He did. It said it was the hand of God to give each one of them the same heart. It can't come from me as much as I try to preach it. It can't come from you as much as you try to teach it. It's got to be given by God. But I do know that it comes by God when we desire it. The Bible says if you want to find me, you seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me. Revival came to this people. They stayed 7 extra days. They went home, tore the junk out of their home that didn't belong there. Boy, you could preach another hour on that, about what don't belong in our home. And whose job is it? It's the Father's job to get that junk out of the house, to get that stuff out of our temples, to get it out of there, to clean it up. Then He done something different. He said, boys, get to work. You've held a position. You're still called a Levite. You're still called a priest. It's time to get busy with your calling. Then the people began giving. People began giving. The whole town prospered. The whole area prospered. The whole country prospered. I've heard it read before. If all the professing Christians in the United States of America would tithe on 10%, now we can argue all day long about what you should tithe and what you should offer and all that. I know what the Bible teaches, and I'll let you pray about that and figure out what you want to, but we're supposed to give. But listen to this. If all the people tithe on 10% of their income that profess to be Christians in our country, we could wipe out disability, Social Security, and welfare. We're a Christian nation. I don't care what people have said, we're a Christian nation. We still have a lot of Christian people, a lot of Christian beliefs. Oh, devil, I'm going to quit. I say this all the time. I need to quit reading the news because I pulled up news this week. First thing that popped up, white Christian male in the minority now in the United States. I ain't going to believe that mess. Because if you're a Christian, you ain't the minority, you're the majority. Hey, He says there's more with us than there are with them. Because God's with us. But church, what I know for certain is the whole church, not just New Harmony, the whole Church of Christ has went too long. Has been dormant too long. Has been sitting quiet too long. And the reason is, we got all this mess in our hearts that don't belong. It's time to come with a heart. To get our hearts right. We got our hearts right. God will send what we need. We've got a great evangelist set up. We've got a great evangelist set up for tonight. All he can do is preach the word of God. It's up to you if that heart's right. As we stand today, this is your opportunity. You need to come. There's something. Listen, if I was honest with you, every single one of us will be in this altar. We all have things we need to get out of our lives. We We need to get this heart prepared for revival. We get up every single morning. It's church day. We prepare our clothes. We fix our hair. We do this. We get everything ready. We come. So many times we just go through a motion. Where's your heart today? If you hold a job in our church, we're about to go into a brand new church here. If you hold a position, if revival comes, that position won't be a position. It'll be an opportunity to serve God. It'll be something you get to do. Won't be something you have to do. You get to do it. It's my prayer this week that we've been given this extra time that we'll use to prepare our hearts. Will you do it now? Revival can start tonight. Revival can start right now in our hearts. If we'll come and prepare it, and I believe God will send it as we sing.